نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لإيلاف قريش إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم ایک مرتبہ رسول اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی بارگاہ میں درود شریف کا نذرانہ پیش کریں اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم ومنبع العلم والحلم والحكم وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم Yesterday I mentioned a few things on the matter of the iman of the parents of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did the parents of Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam die with iman? Will they go to Jannah? And yesterday I mentioned that the correct opinion in the Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah is that they died as muwahideen on the correct path, and later the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought them to life, they accepted iman, and then they went back into their graves. So on the Day of Judgment, they will not only go to Jannah, they will take many of us, inshallah, with them to Jannah. However, because it is a disputed matter amongst the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, if there is somebody who doesn't believe that, then we should not argue with them people. We should leave them to it. However, there is one point that we should note, that if somebody does not believe that, he must make sure that he does not utter any words or any sentence that could be disrespectful or that could hurt the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. For example, if somebody's son is a thief, if you go to that person and say to him that your son is a thief, then that is harmful to that person. In the same way, if a person does not believe that and he says about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that his parents are jahannami, ma'adallah, then that is harmful. يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, that is causing distress and discomfort to Allah and His beloved Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and is disrespectful, and therefore it is kufr. It is infidelity. You cannot utter such words. So whether somebody takes that opinion, they should be careful in what they utter. Secondly, yesterday I mentioned that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was without doubt the most powerful creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And without doubt, the Anbiya-i Kiram and the Rusul-e-Izam have the highest station amongst the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no wali of Allah, there is no wali from the ummah of Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam that can ever reach the station of a prophet or messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yesterday I mentioned an incident where Sayyiduna Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani radiallahu ta'ala an, he used the words "Qum bi'idhni" to raise the dead from the grave, whereas Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam used the words "Qum bi'idhnillah." So somebody may object that does Sayyiduna Abdul Qadir think he is greater than Sayyiduna Isa, ma'adallah? Somebody may object. So the answer to that, I thought I'll just share the answer in case somebody does object or that objection arises in your mind. The answer is that every single thing happens with the power of Allah. We all believe that the source of all power and strength and occurrences is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether the words "Qum bi'idhnillah" are used or whether the words "Qum bi'idhni" are used, it all happens with the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Anbiya-i Kiram, Rusul-e-Izam, the Awliya-i Kiram, they are all wasail, wasila, to make these things happen. The reason why Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam used the words "Qum bi'idhnillah" was because his mission was to bring people to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was his mission, to bring people to one Allah, to monotheism. Because in his time, people did not believe in one Allah. So his duty and his mission was to make people believe in Allah, and that's why he used the words Qum bi idhnillah. In this incident of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, this Christian already believed in Allah. Sayyiduna Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala wanted him to believe in him, that this is the ummah of Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You already believe in Allah, I want you to believe in Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is the reason why he used the words Qum bi idhni. Does that make sense? Okay, so when Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam returned to Makkah Mukarrama with Sayyida Umme Ayman. Her name is, if somebody remembers, Baraka radiallahu anha. I mentioned it twice before, this is the third time. Sayyida Umme Ayman radiallahu anha, she was the khadima of Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha passed away, she came back to Makkah Mukarrama after the burial and the janazah of Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha. Then in Makkah Mukarrama, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam lived in the kifala, in the guardianship of Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anha, the grandfather, the paternal grandfather of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in the Quran, some of the mufassirin have said that in the ayah, Alam yajidka yateeman fa'awa, this is what it indicates to Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib. And some have said it indicates to Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam returns to Makkah and he starts to live with his uncle, with his grandfather Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib. Now, whilst he is living in Makkah Mukarrama, a few incidents occur before Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib leaves this world. And Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib, according to one narration, was around 78 years old. And according to one narration, he was 118 or 120, somewhere around there. And the more correct opinion, according to a few of the books that I have read, is that he was around the age of 80. Now, Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib, he had a friend in Makkah Mukarrama who was a Jew. And once this Jew was in the house of Abdul Muttalib, and he was sitting with Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib, and he was saying to Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib that I found some interesting readings in our book, the Tawrat, in the Old Testament. I found that in Makkah, the final Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to come. And he will be from the family of Quraysh. And he will be the most beautiful human that we will have ever seen. His character will be the most pure. And he, whenever he will walk in the streets, there will be a cloud that will give him shade from the sun. And whenever you see into his eyes, you will see a slight redness in his eyes. Whilst he was saying this, Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, around the age of 8 or 9, he walks into the house of Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu. Without any hesitation or any questions, this friend of Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib is shocked and he says, this is who I am talking about. This is the final Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is he in your house? So Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala said that this is the son of my son. So he is my grandson. Now the Jew said to Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib that you must make sure you protect this child, because I know that this is the final Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he fits all the description and all the signs that are mentioned in our book. There is just one thing that I would like to see. So he says, what would you like to see? He says, I would like to see his back. So then Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib moves the clothing up from the back of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Jew sees the mohr of Nubuwa, which says Muhammad Rasulullah. And then he says, now I have absolutely no doubt. There was one more incident that occurred at that time, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was walking near the Kaaba. And there was a specific group of men from a specific tribe. They saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they called him towards them. because they had heard these strange occurrences about Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not come to them. He walked away back towards the house of Abdul Muttalib. So these people stood up and they followed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they saw that there were footsteps of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the earth. So they followed the footsteps to the home of Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib, and they said that who was that child that walked in? Was that Muhammad, who is now known in Makkah Mukarramah as this special child? And he said, yes, that is, he is Muhammad. Who is he to you? He is my grandson. They said that, do you know that his footsteps are exactly or similar to the Maqam Ibrahim, which is outside the Kaaba? His footprint is just like the footprint of Maqam Ibrahim, and nobody has a footprint similar and as beautiful and as perfect as the Maqam of Ibrahim. So Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala said that, I already know that. So they said, you must look after and protect this child from harm, because if people find out, then they will try to assassinate and kill this child, Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After this, at the age of ek martaba durood sharif padh le, about the age of 8, so we, Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha passed away when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 6 years old. So then, when I mentioned before 8 or 9 years old, I meant to say 7 or 8 years old. Now at the age of 8, Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala passed away. He passed away as a mu'ahid, a believer in one Allah. When Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anha passed away, now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into the kifala, into the protection or guardianship of his uncle Abu Talib. His uncle Abu Talib. Now before Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib passed away, he had instilled the respect and honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all his family. In all the family, he had instilled in their hearts that you must respect and look after and love this child, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But to the extent that when he was alive, there used to be a carpet laid down for him outside the Kaaba, because he was the keeper of the Kaaba. He was the one who held the key to the Kaaba. So he used to sit on that piece of cloth. Now, or you could call that his throne. That was his throne where he used to sit, and people used to come to consult him. Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sometimes, at that age, 7 or 8 years old, he would walk to the Kaaba and he would go and sit on that throne or that piece of cloth which was there for Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib. And the other family members of Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib would tell him to move and say, you can't sit here, nobody can sit here. But when Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib would come, he would call the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he would say, come, you sit here, this is your place. You are the person who should be sitting here. And in that way, he instilled in the hearts of all his family members that you must respect him as you respect me. So when Abu Talib began to look after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had immense love and he had immense respect and honor for Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam. It is narrated that Sayyiduna Abu Talib himself said that, in my house, when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in and we became the guardians of Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he brought with him so many blessings into our home. It was such that when we sat to eat and he was sitting with us, then one container of milk, which was enough for one person, would suffice for all of us that were sitting on that dasturkhan, only because he was sitting there. And if he was not sitting there, then no matter how much we would try to share and slowly eat that food, we would never feel full. We never felt satisfied after eating. But when he would be sitting on that food spread, then everybody would eat till they were satisfied in my family. This was the situation. He also says that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sleep, and Sayyidina Abu Talib fell in love with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much that his other children would sleep far away from him, but he would keep the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam right next to him. And even when he woke up, when he left the house, he would always keep Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with him. Yani he spent the most time in his day with Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was the love he had. He says when he would go to sleep and when they would awake in the morning, all the children would come to the place where the family would be sitting, and he says that the hair would be all over the place, their face needed washing and cleaning. It was only Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam then that when he woke up from his sleep, his hair was just as though it had been oiled and combed, and his face was always shining bright as though he had come out from a bath, as though he'd already washed himself. So this was the state of Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, this is from amongst the irhasat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what are the irhasat? The miracles that occurred before the i'lan of Nubuwwah. Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he became so much in love with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he instilled in his own heart so much respect and belief in his heart that this child is Mubarak, he is blessed and he is special, that once Makkah Mukarramah faced a drought, there was no rain, and the drought was such that there was no water for the animals to drink, and the people were suffering due to thirst. Water had become scarce. There was no water to be found. Food was running out, and they were in desperate need of water. Halak al-mal, people's wealth had become destroyed. Food had rotted because there was no water. So the people of Makkah went to their idols in the Kaaba. They worshipped their idols, asking for rain, but no rain came. One person from amongst them said to them that we have Abu Talib amongst us. Why don't we all go to Abu Talib and ask Abu Talib to seek rain from Allah? Because these people already believed in Allah, but they believed in all these idols as well as Allah. So they came to Abu Talib and they say, "Oh Abu Talib, you are from the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam. You are from the family of Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam. You are the keeper of the Kaaba. You go to the Kaaba and make dua to Allah to give us rain." And Abu Talib, upon hearing this request, he took the hand of Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he went to the Kaaba. And then he placed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam touching his back onto the Kaaba, sitting down, and he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said these lines of poetry which are now famous amongst the ulama kiram. He said, وَأَبْيَضُ يُسْتَسْقَى الْغَمَامُ بِوَجْهِهِ وَأَبْيَضُ, the bright, white, shining face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And remember, he's only about 10 years old. وَأَبْيَضُ يُسْتَسْقَى الْغَمَامُ بِوَجْهِهِ, such a beautiful face through which we can seek water from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَبْيَضُ يُسْتَسْقَى الْغَمَامُ بِوَجْهِهِ ثِمَالُ الْيَتَامَى رِسْمَةٌ لِلْأَرَامِلِ. This child who is the pride of the orphans, because remember the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's parents had passed away. The man who is a refuge, this child who is a refuge and a pride for the orphans. وَعِسْمَةٌ لِلْأَرَامِلِ, and he is a helper and supporter of women whose husbands have passed away, of widows. When Abu Talib started mentioning this line of poetry, this couplet, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at that young age of 10, he lifted his finger and looked towards the sky, and he started moving his finger, and suddenly clouds appeared from all four sides of Medina Munawwara, and it rained so much that all the streets of Medina became flowing with water. Now this was before, so this is from the irhasat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced his prophethood, I'm just going to mention one hadith, and if somebody wants to read more on this, you can read in Bukhari Sharif Abwabul Istisqa, and there are many narrations of how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make it rain whenever he wants. But there's this one really interesting narration that I want to share with you all, and It's such a beautiful narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I'm sure you all will be thankful that I mentioned it to you. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. It is said regarding Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar, his son narrates. His son said that I heard from my father that my father, when he saw that there was a drought in Medina Munawwara and we needed rain, he says, I would come to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now I would see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is engaged. He is busy with people or he's busy doing something. So I don't have the opportunity to approach him. So I would sit down and just look towards the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the words in Bukhari Sharif are, رُبَّمَا ذَكَرْتُ قَوْلَ الشَّاعِرِ. That I would sit and I would remember the couplet of the shair, of the poet who said this. And who was it? It was Abu Talib who said this. And he says, I would sit, I would look towards the Messenger of Allah, وَأَنَا أَنْزُرُ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَسْتَسْقِي. He would. So Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar would sit, he would look at the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would seek in his heart, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, give us water. And he would sing, Wa abyadu yustasqal ghamamu bi wajhihi thimalul yatama ismatul lil aramili. He would sing this, not even speaking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From his heart, he is seeking water from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he himself says, Fama yanzilu, rain would not fall, hatta yajisha mizab al Madina. He says that it would not rain, but all the streams of Medina would start flowing with water. That is how much it would rain. Do you see how beautiful that is? You don't even have to ask the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You just think of it in your heart and direct your attention towards the beautiful face of Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam and just ask for whatever you want. And I'm going to share this as well with you, because the awliya-i-kiram, we all know that the awliya-i-kiram, the ulama-i-kiram, they are the naibin of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are the naibin, the representatives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if the sahaba-i-kiram used to do this with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that means we can do this with the naibin, the representatives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I myself have tried this. It's from my own experience. That I, when I went to Bareilly Sharif, there was a lot of things I wanted to ask from Sayyidi Huzur Taju Sharia, one of the representatives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the great scholar of India, the Grand Mufti. And he was unwell, so he wouldn't speak much. It was not possible to speak or have a conversation. So when I was there in his presence, I just closed my eyes and thought of this incident of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then I just looked at the face of Sayyidi Huzur Taju Sharia and I asked for whatever I wanted. And alhamdulillah, I can say that I have already received half of what I asked for. And inshallah, I have faith that I will receive the other half as well. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even at that age, was used as a wasila. He was already used as a wasila by those who had not even accepted Iman on his nubuwwah, because he had not proclaimed or he had not announced his nubuwwah yet. But still he was already used as a wasila by people like Abu Talib and the people of Makkah Mukarramah. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached the age of 12, a very famous journey to Syria with Abu Talib occurred. Now Abu Talib used to keep the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with him all the time. When he'd go out, when he'd come back, when he'd go to the market in Makkah, he would take the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with him. Now he had to go and travel to Syria for merchandise, for his business trip. And he wanted to take the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with him, but he did not think it was suitable. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself requested that I would like to come. So Abu Talib, even though others told him not to, he took the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with him to the Mulk Sham, to Syria. And The people of Makkah used to travel to Syria and to Yemen frequently for merchandise. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for them to travel to Yemen and to Syria in the different seasons. That was something Allah gifted the Quraysh. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Abu Talib goes to Syria. Now when he goes to Syria and they reach this place called Basra in Syria, an incident with a priest called Bahira or Buhaira occurs. And this is quite famous. All the Ashab-e-Seer have mentioned this. And what happens is, they come to this place which is near a church, and the priest of that church is Bahira. And Bahira, or you can say Buhaira, both of them are fine. So I'm going to stick to Bahira. Bahira Rahib, so he was a priest and he used to live in this church. And he was known amongst the people as the most knowledgeable Christian priest of that time. And he had never invited anybody who was traveling past to his church for food or drink, never. But when he saw this one group of people in this caravan coming, he saw that there was a cloud following this qafla, this group of people who have come to Syria for merchandise. He also saw that they stopped near this tree, in the shade of this tree, and this tree bowed towards this one specific person that walked towards this tree. And that was Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is now at the age of 12. Bahira, upon seeing this, he sent his khudama, his servants, that go and invite that group of people and tell them that because they are travelers, I have invited them and prepared food for them. And he ordered for food to be prepared. So food is prepared, and the people of Quraysh who have come from Makkah and are traveling to Basra now come to his church, the church of Bahira. And they all sit down to eat and they start eating. Now Bahira is carefully staring at each individual and looking for this special one. But he doesn't find the special one that he is seeking, because he had all the signs of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his book, in the Injil, in the Bible, in the New Testament. So he says that, has anybody been left out? So one of the people, he said that yes, there is one child, a young man. He has stayed in the shade of that tree to look after the belongings of the caravan, of the people. So Bahira became completely upset and he said, no, you must bring everybody. That is not right. It is not right to leave him there. He should also come and enjoy this da'wah, this feast that I have prepared. So then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also brought in front of Bahira. Now Bahira looks at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he stares at him. He looks at the redness in the eyes of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He looks at the beautiful face. He looks at the beautiful hair. He looks at all the signs that he found in his book. And then he says that, I was trying to see the back, but I just could not see it because he would not lower the garment. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not lower the garment. So then he said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, okay, I give you the qasam, the oath of Lat and Uzza. Will you answer the questions that I ask you truthfully? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became angry and he said, don't give me the oath of Lat and Uzza. There is nothing more I dislike than Lat and Uzza. So Bahira was testing and he was pleased with this answer. And he says, okay, I give you the oath of the Rabb of Kaaba, the creator of Kaaba, that you will answer honestly the question that I ask. So then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, if you ask me with the oath of the Rabb of Kaaba, then I will answer the questions you ask. And then Bahira asked him many questions. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him honest answers. And after the answers, Bahira said to Abu Talib, that who is he to you? And Abu Talib said, he is my son. Bahira said, that is not possible. It is not possible that that is your son, because his father has to have died before he was born, according to the Injil. It's not possible, you are lying. And Abu Talib said, "No, I am not lying. I am metaphorically speaking. I am his uncle, so I call him my son. I am his uncle." So then Bahira says, "Yeah, in that case I accept. He is your uncle." So then he asks Abu Talib a few questions, and he says, I'd like to see his back. So then Abu Talib asks the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show the back, and Bahira sees the beautiful mahr of Nubuwwah, and at that point he says that, "I wish I was alive when he announced his prophethood. I would be the first to accept Iman, and I would be the one who would stay by his side and support him and help him in all his mission until he has spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all throughout the world." And what happens after that, inshallah, we shall talk about tomorrow. Jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum.